Hi, I'm Austin Seekins.
Hi, I'm Zazania Gaddam.
Welcome to Here's Why Beyond the Walls.
I've mentioned Eddie a few times already, but he used to say, almost annoyingly, because he would say it all the time, he would say, it's going to be good, and it's going to be better than you could imagine. I'm like, all right, that's great, but when and... He was right. He was saying you're not going to be able to predict it. It's going to be better than you can imagine. And you know, your story, Austin, reminded me of that. And yeah, I vividly remember meeting you freshman year and talking to you. And I'm like, all right, this is interesting. and so it's been fun to see how you've grown and transformed and molded, to go back to that illustration you brought up, Zan. And I did have the realization the other day. I was like, oh yeah, like I forgot about that. Like when I was saying, I had this like memory of meeting with you right when you started school, and I had completely forgotten that.
Because I was a biology major, day one. And then it was just like, never mind. I don't really want to do that. This is more interesting to me, even though I don't really care about it. Then meeting with you, meeting with Travis Craver, and meeting with
Thomas,
right? And all these very religious people, and I'm like, this is fun. This
is interesting.
Thanks for sharing the stories. I definitely believe like one of our stories or one of our testimonies is definitely going to either touch or influence or in one way or the other kind of help the listeners process their plan and purpose as they're going through life. And kind of want to jump into this question now is like, and we kind of spoke about God's plan and why we go through challenges during God's plan. It should be easy, but it's still challenging. We kind of sat on that for a little bit. Now, I kind of like want to understand if there is a general plan by God and if there is a specific plan by God. Kind of like, I feel like out there, I don't know, I'll stop at that because I feel like I'm going to answer my own question.
That's enough of a question in and of itself, right?
Although
you're welcome to answer it. That would be great.
I
want
to listen to you.
I want to simplify that just a little bit because we do have high school audience.
Yeah.
The general plan and specific plan, like general meaning like complete circle of like your major, essentially. Like you're going and majoring in psychology, and then specific is like what you're going to be doing in that field. So like
that's not how I interpreted it.
Okay.
Is that what you meant by it?
I mean, I want to see what you have to say.
So when I hear that question, what I hear is are you asking, does God have sort of an overarching plan for everyone, for all believers?
Yes. Like
that's what general.
Is that a general
specific
plan?
Meaning God has a, does God have a pinpoint plan for your life?
Individual,
step-by-step kind of plan. That's kind of how I hear that question.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah.
So I got to answer that.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like because you, I understood my question, so you have to answer my question.
Yeah.
And Austin, you also can jump in.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And we were trying to simplify that question.
Yeah. I mean, I would just say one, that's a very complex question that I think we should all have a little bit of humility as we think about it and to not assume we have it completely figured out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to start with that because I'm not suggesting I've got it figured out. I could totally be wrong, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't need to be right. But so for the first part, does God have a general overarching plan? Yes, I think Scripture is very clear on that on numerous occasions. One that I think speaks to both conversations we've had so far is a verse that we often hear and see a lot with this topic, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you,
mm-hmm.
you know, plans for you to prosper, not hope for a future, all that.
Yeah.
But God is giving that through Jeremiah not to a specific person. He's giving that to all of Israel, which at that time was being taken captive into Babylon for exile. Mm-hmm. And so there's a level of encouragement there that's supposed to be there for God's people.
Yeah.
So I think that speaks to both conversations we've had so far. That's not the only example, but that's one that comes to mind. And I also think just the gospel in general demands a general calling for everyone to be salt and light, you know, to use some of that Christian church language from scripture. So I think we all have that general overarching calling, purpose, will, whatever you want to call it. As far as like a specific plan, I was talking with Austin about this recently and how it can be very confusing and hard to figure out. My opinion is that God does give us a level of free will and options and open doors and closed doors. I do think there are times where God orchestrates some things that are mysterious, like Terrence being in your class that day. I don't think that was just randomness, right?
I mean, he was coming to, you know, recruit interns. Like, yeah. He was there to do that thing, but like... Yeah,
but on the day that you...
Was going to preach, the last day.
Yeah, imagine if he doesn't come on that day, like, I don't know where your story goes.
Exactly.
I'm not suggesting it's not similar to where you're at right now, but, you know, we don't know. So I do think there are specific orchestrated God ordained moments like that. But I think as far as like, does God have a specific plan for our lives? Yes and no. So to explain that, God's called me to ministry. That is a specific plan. The step-by-step moments, not all of them, I would suggest, are like a treasure map or like a recipe or a blueprint. I do think God gives us choices along the way, and God can see all the different paths and outcomes because God is all-knowing and all-present, all-powerful. So God is able to see all that, and God knows where he wants to guide us. But to me, you know, there is some choice along the way. In my opinion.
Yeah.
And so that's where I would say like yes and no. I think but you know, I don't think it's so determined that like if you get it wrong, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You missed it. Like, you know what? God called me to be a doctor, but I chose to be a physical therapist. Like now suddenly my entire life is, you know, out of whack.
Yeah,
I just don't think that is that coincides with scripture or with our experience and our relationships with God. I had a quote, and I'll stop talking. this is from Kyle Lake, that book I mentioned that I would recommend to seniors, and of course I recommend to college students. Oh, here it is. He's talking about like if he uses this phrase "God of 100%," meaning you have to get your life 100% right. So the person you're going to marry, the jobs you're going to get, all that stuff has to be 100% right because we have a God of 100%. He's sort of tearing down that idea. Mm-hmm. Right. So he says, now imagine the God of 100% sitting in heaven awaiting our next decision. Many of us will be immobilized from ever stepping out and making a decision in the first place. We will be incapacitated with the fear that once we finally make a decision regarding job, college major, spouse, living situation, God will be sitting high in the sky, angrily saying, wrong, you lose. And at the point, we'll be left with a second-rate life because we took one wrong turn. And after our next faulty decision, we're on plan C, then plan D, and then so on. And so he's just saying that is not the God we worship and serve, where he's looking down at our life and monitoring our steps, and if we get it wrong, we are completely off path forever.
Yeah.
So I think there's, like I said, there is a specific plan, but I don't know that every step is really determined for us along that way.
And kind of like that, like I'm glad you went that direction because that was definitely going to be my question. What if I mess up my plan? Because I think like at the end of the day, the general plan and the specific plan go together.
Yeah.
And we, whatever profession we are in, whatever lifestyle that we are walking in, not whatever lifestyle, let me back up, whatever profession, whatever field of profession that we go into, we continue to follow this general plan that God has for us and continue to live out his love, his gospel, and be the gospel and be the presence of Jesus in that place. And when it goes to trying to kind of, that was going to be my question, is like, what if I mess up in the process of the plan? And kind of like, it's very, when you give something that is broken, there is no one else who can fix it more beautiful than God,
mm-hmm.
even when it comes to a plan. I was kind of like reminded while you were talking, like reading that statement. I know this Japanese bowl, what, kitsungi, what is that called?
Hey, you're on your own here, man.
Yeah. Okay, what you're saying sounds familiar, but I'm not helping you.
It's a Japanese tradition of how broken things can be healed. It's basically resonates like a bowl that is broken is being put together by this gold liquid and plating and glue. Mm-hmm. And I got that as a gift for our wedding. And someone gave it to us, and kind of like always kind of reflecting on, give those broken things to God, then he can mend it nicely and beautifully. And I actually tried that. I'm sorry, I'm really bad at trying to say this exact name. I think it's kitsungi, Japanese.
Sounds right. Sounds great.
So I myself actually did that one day. I wanted to be a little creative. I broke something while I was washing the dishes, and I was like, okay, let me try to put this together. I put glue and use some gold color along with that. And it was like, the process was really hard of trying to put that small pieces. But when we try to put it together at the end of it, the result is so beautiful. Mm. And I think that's something that always, like, when we mess up our plans, we can always give it to God, because the biggest thing that we as humans committed is sin. And God did such a beautiful thing through Jesus and brought so much healing and brought us salvation and took us away from that sin because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. Well, God could fix something like that, and he can obviously, something that means more and dear to us is our plan, our future, and God can always bring it together and beautiful. And that's something that I think we don't have to stop mm-hmm. when we mess up. We don't have to be harsh on ourselves. But what we could do the best is go back to God and say, like, God, here's the blank paper. You show me my steps, and kind of re-surrender our plan. Because that's what kind of David did. He messed up while he was the king. He sinned after seeking after his own flesh. But when he went back to God and fell on his face at the foot of God, confessing, God reestablished his, because he reestablished his plan and his purpose and his life so much that Jesus came out of the house of David.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so beautiful when you connect that path, and kind of like, I think it's very, I'm sorry I'm kind of going around, but I just wanted to say that clearly, that when we mess up our plan, we can always go back to God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And ask him to mold us again, and he's willing to.
That reminds me of the verse, you know, everything under the sun is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. You're able to do things that aren't always good for you, and they won't benefit you. It also makes me think of Ephesians 5, starting in verse 15. So then be very careful how you live. Don't live like foolish people, but like wise people. Make the most of your opportunities, because these are evil days. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord wants. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to wild living. Instead, be filled with the Spirit by reciting psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs for your own good. Sing and make music to the Lord with your hearts. Always thank God the Father for everything in the name of your Lord Jesus Christ. Like, we're able to, I again, the free will question, you know, we're able to make our own decisions and God has a specific plan for our lives, but that plan's going to be, I think it can change depending on what sort of decisions that we make. So the way that I think about God's will and that general calling and that specific calling is more like a tree, mm-hmm. with extending branches. So mm-hmm. you have your tree and you have your roots, which is grounded in your faith. And then you have, you know, God as your trunk basically. Mm-hmm. And then you have all the different branching paths that you can take that are all in line with God's will. And you can stray from that and fall away from that. But there are so many different ways that you can follow God's will. And it doesn't have to be generally just like, you know, one particular thing. They can get down to the specifics, but it's not, it does go together. The general right. plan, that specific plan, they yeah. do go together yeah. and it's all in one encapsulated yeah. thing.
Yeah, yeah. I think like it's the journey towards that, like us earnestly seeking God. Mm-hmm. And going back to him and again and again and again and again and surrendering ourselves. That's what is the beauty, is like that's where the relationship is formed between us and God. And I think, I don't know, I would like to say at this point is like, I think that's the utmost plan or ultimate plan by God, is like to reform us,
yeah.
to make us like whom he wants us to be in him and through him in this world. I kind of feel like that's the plan that we don't see.
Yeah.
We think this, what is in front of us is the plan, but this is a plan that all along God is actually working on us.
Mm-hmm.
While we don't want to hear about it, we don't want to see that. That's me at least.
Yeah, and you're yeah. right. We want to have everything planned out and figured out like right now, because we want to have our whole life in order, because, you know, to have it that way makes it a little bit easier. Like,
sure.
this is how my day is laid out. This is how it's going to be played out. That's why we live by our calendars, basically. We fill our calendars up all the way. And if we deviate from our calendar, then everything's going to go out of whack. But that's not, life is so spontaneous in that way. It doesn't really work like that.
Yeah.
That's a big podcast you're talking about.
Yeah. I think, you know, that stems from our desire to be in control.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just think God's will is not something for us to really take control of. But I did think of a few verses that I wanted to read, and one really short passage speaking to just kind of, yes, is a general will, and then also that relationship that you talked about between general and specific will. So Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says in there, be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus. And then Mark chapter 1, Gospels have stories about Jesus calling the disciples. Mark chapter 1, I'm going to read from that one, verses 16 through 20. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their tents. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. And I share that specific passage. It gets back to something I said earlier also, is the command there from Jesus is come follow me, not come follow God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a subtle difference, but it gets back to what's the treasure? Yeah. It's Jesus, being with Jesus, not some uncovered
yeah.
will. But then also to connect the two, I have Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So if you want to be an astronaut, if you want to be a coach or
yeah.
a business person,
yeah.
do it all in the name of the Lord. You're called to this general gospel calling for all believers.
Yeah.
Let that flow into everything you do, including your vocation. But the vocation itself is not necessarily the calling you uncover.
Yeah.
It's impacted by it, though. It's completely transformed by God's will, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And kind of like do everything for the glory of God, and whatever that is, whatever path that we are headed down, we should make sure at the end of the day, it's not me, it's not Austin, it's not Taylor, but it's God. Like, he comes at the center of all of this.
Yep.
And again, that's the treasure that we need to be seeking after. And God always has great plans for us along the way. And I know we have like had kind of some deep subjects so far, but I still have like a couple more questions, which we'll see how long this goes. But I'd really like how we are headed. I like the direction that we are trying to build this conversation and head. I do want to ask, like, sometimes that is God's plan and that is my plan. So if we make it God's plan versus my plan, like, how do we navigate through that? And maybe I'll go ahead and add this question. Maybe they intermingle over here. How do I discern God's plan? And how do I discern my plan is part of God's plan or not part of God's plan?
Well, one, I think it gets back to a quote I read earlier from Thomas Merton, that if you are in relationship with Jesus, if you're seeking to please God daily, I don't think you're going to stray really that far from God's plan. And so I think we can take a little bit of rest in that and find some peace and calmness in that. I also do think that if we're like going to be really off course, I do think God will close doors at times and be like, so like if I had gotten one of those ministry positions, you know, I think that was one of the things where I was ready to like to say yes, and those doors slammed shut. It didn't make sense to me. You know, I think God stepped in and made the call, so to speak, even though I didn't get it at the time. So I think one, we need to step back from the question a little bit and take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Focus on the relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
And trust that faith in that relationship as we do make decisions, that we are in step with God. If we are asking the question like that, I think what we are getting at is something that can be sometimes harmful, of like, okay, again, if I get this wrong, then it's all messed up.
Yeah,
I do want to read. I wanted to make sure I get this in here. This is, I think, puts it in plain terms.
Yeah,
this is an illustration from a Christian theologian, Brian McLaren. He says this about God's will. He says, I have four kids, one son in college. Imagine he calls me on the phone and says, Dad, what is your will for my major in college? I would say, Son, I have raised you to this point in your life so that you can make that decision. Yes, Dad, his son replies, but I want to do your will, not my own will, so tell me what major to choose. Son, I'll say, I'd be glad to help you think this through. For example, we can talk about how much you hate history and hate calculus, and how much you love writing and business. I think I can help you eliminate some options, but I want you to decide this. Dad, don't you love me? What if I make a mistake? I just want to do your will, he says. But son, I'll reply, it is my will for you to make this decision. Again, I'm glad to talk with you and help you think through it. But my will is for you to grow up, be a man, and make a life for yourself by making decisions, hard decisions like this one. And believe me, whatever happens, whether you major in business or art or physics, whether it goes well or not, I will be with you. You can count on that no matter what. The point is that he lives with my guidance, not my domination, because he's my son, not my lawnmower. And I think that just puts it in plain terms in our own lives, of, in my opinion, how we interact and discern or understand God's will.
Yeah, I really like that illustration. And kind of like God wants us to, like, he opens the doors, we get to discern what God's plan, purpose, will. I know we are using a lot of terms over here: plan, will, vocation, calling. And I know there are several people out there that can do word study and differentiate all that. Sure. But at the end of the day, kind of, I think they come under this umbrella term of God's will. And I think, like, it's very important for us to, like, pursue after God in that journey that we are part of, so that his plan in all the areas of our life is executed. And I like that illustration. He's not my lawnmower, he's my son. So yeah. I want him to help grow, make decisions by himself. And, like, I sometimes... that door is fully open. Sometimes that door is slightly open.
Sure.
You can just, like, barely see through the light on the other side. I think it's really important for us in that stage to discern God's will. And I really kind of, like, if we have to convey this to a student, like, what are the steps that you would recommend, like, to do to discern God's will?
Yeah. So I'm glad you went that direction with it. So, one, just back real quick, back to your question, is this my plan or God's plan, or my will, God's will? If we are so stuck on that question, we will stay there, and we will be immobile. We will not make decisions. We'll feel paralyzed.
Yeah.
Like, we won't be able to walk through doors. We won't be able to kind of check, is this door open? Yeah. I'm going to kind of walk through here, see what happens. We'll just be stuck. And then going off the illustration, we are not God's lawnmower machine being, you know, pushed around. Yeah. We are God's children.
Yeah.
And God is there for us for guidance, discernment. You know, God's word says it's a lamp to my feet, light into my path. I think that applies to this conversation as well. So I think for students, like, discerning God's will, you know, and this isn't just for students. I think this is for anybody.
Everyone. Yeah.
But yes, you should read God's word because it's a light and to my feet, or lamp to my path. So I think that's first, being in God's word, being in that relationship, obviously praying, asking for the Lord's wisdom, asking for clarity, understanding. Doesn't mean you're going to quite get it.
Yeah.
But even that act of trust is essential.
Yeah.
And then third, this one I think is very important too, is you should be seeking out wisdom and counsel from older believers in your family and probably outside your family. That's part of y'all's role in student ministry. It's part of Jonathan's role, being youth pastor, all the interns, Allison, that's part of what y'all are here for, is to help students discern and make those steps.
Yeah.
And so I've always done that, sometimes to a fault, where I've just, like, asked like 10 people their opinion. Yeah. And then I'm just like, okay, now I'm confused. But I think having trusted mentors and people who are discipling you that you can go to, I think that's important. Like, if you're thinking about college, thinking about those next steps, don't just make those decisions on your own. Like, talk to your parents, talk to your student ministry staff, have people pray with you and just see what the Lord reveals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that. Austin, did you have something to say about it?
Yeah. So I read this book, T.U. Mastin's book, called God's Will in Your Life. And he's got a 7-step plan that I've utilized in my own life.
And he says, first of all, to use personal resources like commentaries, listening to sermons, listening to podcasts like these, you know, using your resources in order for you to help you discern God's will. And then also to seek good counsel, talk with people who know more than you, talk with people who are older in their faith than you are. Study your Bible, actually go through that word, try to learn who God is through his word, and also to pray. Like you were saying, prayer is very important. Prayer is how you build that relationship with God. And be open to the Holy Spirit, respond to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes that's a little bit harder to actually nail down exactly what that looks like. But yeah, respond to the Holy Spirit, let your heart be open to paths that you may not have considered, and then finally look beyond the difficulties of doing this act of following God's will, because like we talked about, it will be challenging. If it's not challenging, then awesome, good for you. You are lucky. But to look beyond the hard parts, and to just trust that God's got your back. God's not trying to be that, you know, the over-demanding father that wants to put you down if you make the wrong decision. Like you were saying, God wants to, God loves you because you're his child. You're not his lawnmower. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah, I agree to all of those. One of the biggest thing that I try to do is, obviously pray about those things, surrender those things to God, and continuously seek after him and ask him to reveal. I've done the Gideon's style of things too. Like, Lord, when I was coming to U.S. actually, I was like, Lord, if this is your will, 10 people should come and tell me that you are going to U.S. Literally, I had 15 people come and tell me that I'm going to U.S. So that was like double confirmation for what I wanted. Sometimes do that. It's not like you're testing God, but you're asking for God's stamp on that. And I believe God does answer those prayers. And sometimes you will not see that, but that's when I would say wise counsel. Mm-hmm. Go ask after elders who have gone through that, and family, friends, and sermons is a good way. I also sometimes do that. Listen to sermons about that particular subject. What is God's plan for my money? What is God's plan for the talents that he has put in me? What is God's plan at this time of my life with my friends, with my relatives? What is all that? Kind of like there are specific titled sermons always out there. That, but also you need to be careful who you're listening to. Just wanted to put it out there. So I kind of like feel like those are some of the steps that you could be doing. And if it is God's plan for me sometimes. Okay, before I say that, I want to ask another question. So now we have started to discern the plans and everything. Again, not a lawnmower. I get to make my decision because I'm the child of God. And God gives me that room to make a decision sometimes. And sometimes he has a plan in front of me and I just need to like step in, get on board. But I still need to step in. So how do I, like, okay, I feel this is from God. How do you personally, I cannot speak for everyone else, but how did you personally see that, okay, this is something that I need to step into at whatever that decision that you made is like, okay, I know this is God's plan at this season or for my life, for my child. How did you like know that? If that makes sense.
Yeah. Only thing I can really kind of speak from is some of my experience. When I had gotten a job offer at the end of seminary, and I was so anxious and so torn about it. I remember talking to the pastor on the phone, and he was like, "It's okay. Like, let a yes be a yes or a no be a no." And I was like, "Yeah, like for some reason this just didn't feel right. Like I don't. On paper, it makes total sense. It just didn't feel right." And so I had that experience, and then like entering into this role, it was just like an easy yes. Of course I'll do that. Like, yeah, doors open, I'm walking through it, and then you know you experience some of the life-giving aspects of it, the confirmations after the fact of people, you know, confirming you, and the church confirm in my situation, the church confirming me in that role a few months later. Yeah, I think, and I still think you're still getting wise counsel along the way. I think you're still praying. You're still in God's word. So I don't know that the process really changes a whole lot.
Yeah.
At least in my experience. Mm-hmm. And then I think, you know, I haven't been in a situation where I've started to think, oh, you know, is God's will leading me somewhere else? So I can't really speak to that, what that feels like. I can really only say kind of what it was like for me to say no to something and then for mm-hmm. me to say yes to something. And, it was much tougher to say no than it was to say yes.
Yeah.
And maybe that was circumstantial, but, and then, yeah, since then it's just been, yeah, this is life-giving. It feels like where I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to get too wrapped up in my head or analytical about that. Like,
yeah,
it's just, this is feels right. And people confirm that and we're good.
Yeah.
So this is where God wants me to be right now. And feel at ease about that.
And we can talk about God's will all day. And I still have more questions that I want to ask, and we have more things that we can cover. We have gone a long time. Yep. And
we can make it 2 episodes, Austin.
We could. But I think we've covered some good ground for this episode. Now I think we'll call it. Are there any closing remarks that you want to make, or just how God's will is working in your life right now before we get out of here?
I just want to kind of add to my own question is, like, sometimes you find peace with God's plan. That's some of the biggest thing that I try to seek after mm-hmm. is, like, if I'm finding peace, it's the peace that God has given. It's not my Zan's peace, but that is this overwhelming peace and assurance, like you said, confirmation. Mm-hmm. And it comes through scriptures. It sometimes for me it comes through dreams, and for some people it's through, like, God showing up and saying, like, pack your bags, you're leaving right now and going to this place. Scriptures has a good evidence of that. Several missionaries. So kind of like those are some of the things that I would encourage, like, the listeners to keep on the lookout for and keep things in mind as you discern the Lord's will. And again, this is just a conversation starter, like I always say this. So this is not the end of trying to learn God's plan, your plan, discerning and everything. But this is, like, we want to be the conversation starter for you all. So hopefully this begins the conversation, not concludes. And continues to lead in that path. I just want to remind 2 verses to my side of conclusion.
Yeah.
We always talk about 29:11, Jeremiah 29:11. I know that plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And kind of we stop there, but thereafter it goes on saying, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Like, I want to emphasize that, like, God has plans for us, but we need to seek after, pray, and trust him. And that's where Proverbs 3:5 comes, like, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Like, trusting him wholeheartedly and seeking after him wholeheartedly and acknowledging him and his will, acknowledging God in our life all the time is the most important thing. Kind of wanted to emphasize on those 2 verses.
Yeah, that's good. Last thing, my conclusion, I do talk about this topic a lot with college students and the pressure there that they often feel from culture, really even church culture specifically, is that they have 4 years or 3 years or 5 years, however long they're in college, to figure it out, all of it. God's will, your vocation, where you're going to live, who you're going to marry, all those things. And the reality is it's a lifelong journey that you spoke to at the very beginning, that even those who are quote-unquote elderly and gray are still sometimes asking this question. And so we should see it as a lifelong journey or an adventure that we are on that will produce people of character and faith that hopefully look more like Jesus.
Yeah,
you know, that's the goal. So,
yep, God's will is a continuing experience and an unexpected journey.
Yeah,
to make a Lord of the Rings reference,
there
just
is.
For you. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any more questions, you can email. Do we have the email now? I think we have an actual email.
We'll put it in the description.
we have an actual email now that you can send questions to, and we will we would want to cover those on the podcast. So yeah, send those in, and we'll see you next week.